I generally look forward to this time of the year for an opportunity not only to bring a gospel preaching message, but in a sense I always call it my annual State of the Union address. And so I want to just share a few thoughts with you this morning, but I want to read from John chapter number 8 and verse number 36. John chapter 8 and verse number 36. The Bible says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Let me begin by reflecting upon this verse, the verse that we just read from here in this portion of the Gospel of John. This verse reminds us that the most valuable freedom is not national freedom, but it's spiritual freedom. Because the verse says, free indeed, free indeed. This verse also reminds us of the fact that freedom is, this kind of freedom is obtained totally outside of ourselves. The verse says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free. There's no way that you and I can work towards, produce, and cause this freedom to occur. God Himself, the Lord Jesus, the Savior, is the author. This verse also reminds us of the fact that spiritual tyranny is the worst bondage. In the context, free from what? Free from sin, the bondage of sin. The worst tyranny is spiritual tyranny, because the wages of sin is death. National freedom, and I don't need to remind us of this morning, or the fact that national freedom is fragile and national freedom is temporal. For we know that governments change. We know that wars can be lost. So therefore, national freedom itself can be lost. Spiritual freedom, on the other hand, is eternal. If you're in Christ, you have eternal life. You have eternal freedom. We've reflected today on the history behind our freedom, and we've paid tribute today to our freedom defenders, our U.S. military. A student of history knows that the significance of Independence Day, we look back in history, we understand that America defeated the Royal British Army and won our independence. Our American military continues to this day to fight for and to defend that cherished freedom. Tragically, one of the best kept secrets of the American Revolution was its spiritual battleground. Its spiritual battleground. Could I mention to you today somewhat of the spiritual roots of the revolution, the spiritual roots of the revolution? The spiritual battleground. Interestingly enough, there was a joint effort between the soldiers in arms and the preachers in the pulpits. If you go back to colonial days, the days preceding the American Revolution, history departments ignore the spiritual roots of the American Revolution. The focus is primarily on the political ideas which led to the American Revolution. The faith and spiritual stamina of many of our founders is denied, as we well know. For example, emphasis is placed on the national artifacts and the statutes, but look what's left out. The Liberty Bell and its crack are noted, but the Liberty Bell and its inscription are not noted. Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 10. These words were inscribed on the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Another example is this. The statue of George Washington standing before Independence Hall is noted, but his hand resting upon the Word of God is not noted many times. The advice today that we're hearing, and this may sound a little bit humorous initially when I first make this statement, but the advice today for preachers to stay out of politics, and the attempt at gun control would have met dismal failure in colonial days. I would mention, first of all, this. The pulpit in those days, the pulpit, added fuel to the fire of the American Revolution. Many preachers played a major role or major part in inspiring a revolt against English control. Preachers were preaching at that time that it was a sacred duty to start a revolution, for the English government was trampling on the God-given rights. Preachers were preaching those issues. The black-robed American clergymen were called the Black Regiment, for they built a support against the war against England. Today, unfortunately, radical politicians and liberal organizations have mounted a major campaign to destroy the Second Amendment and disarm Americans. But we know this when you research history. We know that the ownership of guns in those colonial days was not only accepted but actually expected in those colonial days. Families were required to own and carry guns, and children were taught firearm proficiency. On the first Thanksgiving Day, 1621, the colonists and the Indians joined together for target practice. That's interesting, isn't it? Church services were held in fortified buildings where arms and powder were stored to provide protection if attacked. Preachers, in the days of our colonial history, preachers were respected as men of wisdom in a matter of spiritual and political matters. It was a common practice for preachers to print and to distribute their sermons, for preachers in those days were viewed as statesmen as well as preachers. Their messages were distributed throughout the colonies and treated as valuable written material. Many preachers advocated bearing arms against England. One preacher, by the name of Elisha Fish, published the sermon entitled "The Art of War, Lawful and Necessary for Christian People." It encouraged young people, young men, to serve in the militia. Preachers taught that the militia bred good citizens, citizen character, while standing armies such as the British Army bred degradation and woe. Simon Howard, another preacher, said, "The New Testament said that a man who neglects to provide for his family has implicitly denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Failure to defend one's family makes them more than chargeable," were the words of that preacher. Jonathan Lathrop, another preacher at that time, preached at the famous Old North Church, associated with the famous words, "One if by land, two if by sea," and associated with the famous person, Paul Revere. This preacher, in that church, in that pulpit, announced God's condemnation of England and the legitimacy of resistance to British government. Nathaniel Whittaker, another preacher, preached that self-preservation is an instinct that God has implanted in human nature. He preached that we sin against God and nature when we resign our pulpits, our rights to tyrants, he said, if it be our power to defend ourselves. Levi Hart, another preacher at that time, preached that the sacred cause of liberty was why the Son of God was manifest in flesh, that he might destroy the tyranny of sin and Satan. To fight for liberty was therefore to fight for God. William Emerson, another preacher, said, he preached to the Concord militia, actually, that victory against the larger British army was guaranteed just as God had protected little Judah from a larger army. He warned the British that it would be an unspeakable damage to them to meddle with us, for we have an unconquerable leader that carries his people to victory and to triumph. He preached that the coming war would bring many tribulations, but American victory had been ordained of God before the beginning of time, on April the 9th, 1775, when the Redcoats marched on Concord, the first man to muster at North Bridge in Concord was the Reverend William Emerson. March 1775, Oliver Noble preached that the cause of America is a cause of God. Never did men struggle in a greater and a more glorious cause. He said that in the fate of the American Revolution hung the fate of freedom, not only in America but around the world for millions of people yet unborn. Here's his quote. Whatever is most dear and valuable in the world to millions now living, and will be so to all the millions of posterity after them, till this world shall be no more, is at stake. Enoch Huntington, another preacher, preached that the prize of contending for is the liberty of America. The preachers preached that salvation and repentance were required before victory. And that's the point that I would make. The preachers did not leave out the necessity, the utter necessity of repentance. And in fact, interestingly enough, the Connecticut Assembly declared a statewide day of fasting and humiliation and passed a resolution to stockpile ammunition. And then I like this. One preacher said that our first responsibility was not to shoot redcoats, but to cleanse ourselves, and then only thereafter to take aim. Don't you like that? What I'm saying to you this morning, in spite of secular modern historians, there is a spiritual root that runs through the American Revolution. And what I'm saying today is God's men in the pulpits at that time did not hesitate to bring these challenges. We celebrate our independence today on consecrated ground, as President Lincoln once stated. Gettysburg Address. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or to detract. You think of the millions, of untold millions of war casualties from the Civil War to current wars that have hallowed the ground of freedom. That consecrated ground that President Lincoln spoke about from Gettysburg has extended. It is extended from Gettysburg to include the trenches of World War I, the beaches of Normandy, the islands of the Pacific, the peninsulas of the Koreas, the jungles of Vietnam, and the deserts of Iraq and Afghanistan. That flag that we fly and our national anthem that we sing represents much more than a song and a piece of cloth. Our president has it right. And our overpaid sports players need to get it right. If you want to protest, choose something else than the very thing that represents the supreme sacrifice of the blood of patriots that have been offered on the altars for freedom. Our real heroes are not the spoiled, overpaid, and undergrateful players that run up and down ball fields, but the men and women who've given their lives on battlefields. We can make it, my friend, without the NFL and the NBA, but we cannot make it without the armed forces of the USA. And let's make that clear. We are at a crossroads today in America. Our greatest threat is not North Korea. It's not Russia. It's not Iran. It is the radical left-wing political establishment which is attempting to dismantle our Constitution, destroy our sovereignty, and deny our vital spiritual heritage. Our public enemy number one is spiritual in nature, because we know righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The destruction of the institution of marriage, the glorification of sex, the anti-God and anti-church agenda is cutting the spiritual jugular vein of this great country of ours. Heathenism, atheism, and materialism define our system of ethics. America today is being distinguished by wrong substance and wrong symbols. Too many today define us with words such as narcotics, materialism, and greed. Our seminaries are to the most part brainwashing institutions that insult our Constitution and espouse atheism and globalism. When a national comedian says he wishes the economy would collapse, if it meant getting Trump out of office, we're in trouble. When hatred of president is greater than love of country, we're in trouble. When political party and agenda become more important than country, we're in trouble. When politicians can sell us out and be accepted and a sailor goes to prison over a picture, we're in trouble. When a former president can give billions of dollars to an avowed enemy of America and Israel in the name of political expediency, we're in trouble. When a current president puts America first and politicians fight him tooth and nail, we're in trouble. When politicians become establishment bureaucrats rather than statesmen, we're in trouble. When politicians look like pouting children that don't get their way instead of mature leaders, we're in trouble. But now I ask, what is the answer? I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse number 18. For the builders, every one of them had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Was by me. They rebuilt the walls at that time. But those walls had to have a foundation. And may I say today that the only proper, solid, and lasting foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the only proper foundation. You can be here religious today, but if you cannot go back to a time you placed your trust where God placed your sins in the finished work of Christ, you do not have that vital foundation that is needed. But go back to our text for just a moment. The foundation, the wall, was being built. By the way, Christians do make the best citizens. Spiritual substance is the best substance. Our country has a constitution which should never be dismantled. We never turn our backs on the labors and the sacrifices of our founders. But now here's what I like. The builders in Nehemiah's day, they kept their swords handy. They had the trowels in their hand. They kept their swords handy. They built, but yet they stayed aware. I notice that passage. Nehemiah said, he that sounded the trumpet was by me. The trumpet was to be sounded when a warning was to be given and the people were to listen. Now go back to American history again for just a moment. The colonial preachers blew the trumpet. The politicians and citizens listened. They fought the enemy. And God gave them victory. And the American Revolution is a glorious page in our history. Pulpits today, I believe, need to be alive with gospel preaching, sober with preaching against sin. But furthermore, people need to listen. People need to listen. America once listened to its preachers who had something to say, and we had the American Revolution. Today we need, I believe this, we need a trowel of the worker, we need a sword of the soldier, and we need a trumpet of the preacher. As Americans, we can say today, I'm free. But in Jesus Christ, we can say, I'm free indeed. I'm proud today to stand here before you wearing the uniform that I proudly wore as a service member prior to my retirement. But I'm more thankful today for that robe of righteousness, that clothing of the righteousness of Christ that once covered me when I came to the cross. Thank God that as Americans we can say, I'm free. But as Christians we can say, I'm free indeed. I'm free for sure. Free indeed. Our most vital history goes back further than Bunker Hill. It goes back further than Gettysburg. It goes back...